Hey guys, all right, we're coming in live. Jeez, completely forgot to plug in the microphone, as you already know. Always falling a little behind over here.
Bruh. So,
welcome back to another live stream. As you guys already know, for those of you guys that watch this channel all the time, I was not here last Thursday, so obviously, you know, a little rust, you know, started to develop, especially out here in Mérida, Yucatán, which is where I'm from, where rust develops very quickly, you know, for many reasons. So it is what it is. But hey, we're here and we're live, and hopefully you guys can hear me. Please let me know how's the sound and how everything is coming in on your end over there. So shout out to everyone. So in today's video, hold on, everything good? Okay. All right, just got like a notification. My streaming thing wasn't working. Oh my God, even my computer doesn't want to work today. Okay. So, all right, we're just going to, you know, again, give it a few seconds here while everything kind of, you know, gets settled in on the live streaming end over here. So, anyway, shout out to everyone out there that made it, is here. And you already know, this is live. And it's just random how things happen. A lot of times everything just goes great. Sometimes it doesn't. It is what it is. Okay, so in today's video, in today's live stream, we're going to be talking about Guadalajara. Yeah, that's right. We just came from Guadalajara. Wow! I just flew in and I'm extremely tired, as you know.
Bruh.
I know, sorry, I can't help my... you know, my joke sometimes. But let's get Guadalajara right here up on the screen real quick so you guys can get an idea. We'll go into detail in a little second here. But we just came from there. We were there last week. That's why I did not go live last week. I got this shirt. Look at this cool shirt over there in Guadalajara for pretty cheap. And, you know, Guadalajara was awesome. You know, let's just get right into that. You know what I mean? Guadalajara. You know, was amazing. It was great. I really, really loved it. Christian really, really loved it. We are already looking forward to going to visit it again real soon, or as soon as we can. You already know, costs money to go out there. It's just like anywhere else. But we really loved it. We loved it a lot more than we thought we would. And it's a big city. I was on, you know, under the impression it was a smaller city. Or a smaller metropolitan area, but until we got there, and then we realized, oh, wait a minute, this area, the city is huge. Now, I did not go to some of the other popular places around Guadalajara, you know, meaning, you know, we did not go to Puerto Vallarta, we did not go to Ajik, or whatever it's called, we did not go to Lake Chapala, we didn't go to any of those places, all right? We just stayed in Guadalajara, and we were there for 5 full days, okay? We were there 6 days, but, you know, travel. So it doesn't really count, but 5 full days we were there, and I was able to get tons of footage. Okay, so be expecting you know, videos on that soon. You know, meaning you already know how I do on the channel. I got my topics, I talk about the topics, and then in the background, you know, I show you guys what the city looks like or what Mexico actually looks like. So I think for some of you guys out there, you guys are also going to be thoroughly astonished, impressed. You know, odd, you know, just like I was. Obviously, there's nothing like actually being there, you know, to really, you know, kind of understand and see, you know, what it's like out there. But, you know, again, for me, it was, wow. I was, like I said, I was in shock, but it was a good shock. You know, I was in shock by how amazing of a city it is. Now, again, at the end of the day, it is a city. It's not the same as where I live. I also live in a city here in the middle of the Yucatan. I live in Mérida, Yucatan, but it's a small city. You know, I'm a big city guy. You know, I'm from Miami, South Florida. You know, for anyone that knows the area, it's, you know, just like most places on the East Coast, you know, or Northeast, you know, where it's just like a lot of city, just constant. You know, there's no gaps in between. So that's South Florida. That's Florida. You know, that's what I'm from. I also lived in places like Los Angeles, which is also huge. In fact, when I lived in Seattle, all right, by the way, for anyone out there that's interested in, you know, my adventures and when I moved to Seattle, we're going to be talking about that in next live stream. Okay, so again, if you guys, a little shameless plug, you know, I got my other show that I do after this show every single Thursday. And we're actually going to be talking about when, you know, I lived in Seattle for 5 years. So, you know, stay tuned for that in case anyone out there is interested. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But today, you know, we're going to be talking about Guadalajara on this channel. All right. So with that said, you know, for me, you know, going to Guadalajara was a happy surprise because, you know, I've been to Mexico City multiple times and it's a really, really big city. And it was giving me more of like New York vibes, which is all right. You know what I mean? But it's not my cup of tea. You know, I'm a Miami, Los Angeles kind of dude. And when I was in Guadalajara, you know, I was like, wow, this is, you know, this feels like home. This feels great. Now, obviously, it's in the mountains. It's a different kind of weather and so on and so forth. But at least, you know, for the vibe of the city, for the time that we were there and just the tone of the city and the climate and so many other things, man, it was something that I really, really enjoyed. But again, you know, this is why I'm making these videos, and we're going to be talking about more in weeks to come about Guadalajara. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not for everyone. You know, I totally understand why people would want to live, you know, in a place like Mérida or a place like Puerto Vallarta or Mazatlán or Lake Chapala or whatever, you know, because Guadalajara is a big city. And there's a lot of people in my audience that are basically retirement age or looking to retire or in that age group. And so therefore, you know, a city like Guadalajara, you know, it's like if you're looking to retire, you're not looking to move to Los Angeles, you know what I mean, or Miami. Now, you might be moving to California or Florida, but you're looking to be, again, you know, somewhere more quiet, per se. You know, again, a beach town, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, somewhere, you know, maybe a retirement community type area, type place, you know, whatever. So I totally get it. And, you know, for most of you guys, you know, I don't know how much you know about my full story, but, you know, how I landed out here in Mexico basically 6 years ago, I just put my finger on a map and I landed in Mérida. That's it. Okay. That's, you know, that's super long story short. Okay. And so obviously, you know, when I landed here, my first impressions of Mexico were Mérida, were the Yucatan, you know, the Caribbean. And as I traveled to other parts of Mexico, you know, I went to Mexico City, I've been to Oaxaca, I've been to other places, you know, again, not Guadalajara. Wow, I've really gotten to see Mexico. I really, you know, and again, there's so much more of Mexico to see, you know, but I've been seeing more of it. And as I've seen more of it, it's been even more eye-opening, all right? And this has made me quickly realize, you know, how, not just how big Mexico is, but how rich Mexico is, because that's like a big misconception a lot of people have too, that, you know, everyone out here is poor, you know, they're on donkeys, you know, they're a bunch of savages, you know, it's all crazy out here. But it couldn't be any further from the truth. Like I said, when you know, when I was in Guadalajara, I quickly saw, like, oh, wait a minute, you know, Mexico has money. You know, not only do they have money, they're spending money. You know, like, you know, there were plenty of places, okay, that were renting homes, okay, for 80,000 pesos, okay, so like $4,000, $5,000, okay, and Mexicans were very happily paying that, okay. I mean, of course, you know, this is like upper echelon, you know, upper income Mexican individuals, but, you know, it's not like there was a lack of them in Guadalajara. In fact, the majority of the people in Guadalajara, they seemed, you know, more of the higher end, you know, or high income individuals. Now, I did stay in Zapopan here. Let's just go to the map for a quick second here. So as you guys can see there on the left, okay, here I'll kind of click on there. So I stayed in Zapopan, okay, and to be more specific, I stayed, you know, by all the way up there, the Telmex Auditorium. And again, you know, that's just like a regular, you know, auditorium, you know, basically like a basketball stadium, you know, or whatever, that you would be used to in the U.S., you know what I mean? And so, again, when I was walking around, when I was driving around, when we were taking the train and so on and so forth, I quickly realized, oh, wait a minute, you know, Mexico, Guadalajara, or this whole area, you know, is very nice, very, very nice. And the gentrification here is completely different. You know, it's just like more of like the typical gentrification that you might know of, you know what I mean, which is just simply, you know, again, you know, the areas just keep getting better and better and better as the income of the individuals in the neighborhoods keeps getting better and better and better. And, you know, as opposed to, you know, the gentrification you might see in a tourist town or, you know, again, like Mérida, Mazatlán, Oaxaca, whatever, you know, where they're, you know, basically more, you know, their industry, sorry, their economy is basically based more on tourism. Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know if you heard a little noise there. So with that said, you know what I mean? Like Guadalajara is not based on tourism. You know what I mean? Like that's not their industry. You know, their industry is, you know, tech, you know, like, you know, like you would see in Silicon Valley. Their industry is, you know, they have a lot of Fortune 500 companies there. They have manufacturing. They got a lot of, again, farm, you know, kind of area. Let's zoom out a little bit. Okay. So, you know, they got a lot of, again, I don't know that much about Guadalajara. I just, you know, from what I saw when I was there, but you know, they have a very, very, deep, how do I say this? Agricultural, kind of situation there because we went to the markets and my gosh, you know what I mean? Like, you know, they had tons of fresh fruit and vegetables and food and so on and so forth. And, you know, living out here in Mérida, here, let's just give you a little perspective. You know, Mérida, Yucatan, over here where I'm at, you know, sure, we grow things out here, you know, and we do have, you know, a lot of local, you know, what is it, like food that we grow, you know, whether it's, you know, chickens and pigs or oranges and avocados. Well, I don't think they grow avocados here, but whatever, you know, whatever they grow out here. But it's again, we're in the middle of the jungle. So not only is it more difficult to grow things out here, but again, we're just like kind of like in the middle of nowhere. But then when you go out here to the middle of the country, especially a place like Guadalajara, which is right in the middle, okay, of the agricultural belt. And, you know, where, you know, everything is really grown and, you know, they have a lot of fertile soil land. Culture of, you know, agriculture and growing, all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, the abundance here is next level. You know, the abundance of food is just next level. And the quality, you know, is next level as well. You know, as we were seeing in the markets and we were seeing all over the place, you know, what they really do have available here, which is really nice. And so like, I'll give you an example. You know, when we're out here, you know, we go and to the store and we buy some blueberries or blackberries or raspberries and we get like the little package, you know, a little plastic package that we're, you know, you get at the store as well. And it's like it costs somewhere in between like $3 to $4 for just a few berries. And then when we were in Guadalajara, we were walking around the market. We got like a big bucket of berries for the same price. And when you buy the berries at the store here in Mérida, you know, they go bad within a few days. You know, over there, you know, we bought them Monday and they were still fresh and great and amazing, you know, by the time we left on Saturday. Okay. So just to give you some perspective, you know, like, and that's just berries, you know, that's not including so many other things like again, the meats, you know, and so on and so forth. All right. And, so we were like very taken aback, but you know, the one thing that we were taken aback by most, again, look at some of these pictures here, look at the buildings, you know, look at some of the, you know, how things look out there. I don't know if you guys can see on screen there. Okay. Now, I don't want to show you guys the videos that I took yet because, you know, that's kind of like a surprise for later. But just, you know, so you can get an idea of what things kind of look like here. And it's very nice. Here, look at this picture here, you see? So you see it's a big major city, all right? And, you know, with a big major city, it comes with a lot of... Oh, is that snow? Well, that's not snow. I thought it was snow. I was like, oh, man, I didn't know it snowed there. But it doesn't. It does not snow because I checked, okay? Just out of curiosity. It does not snow here. In fact, the weather here is more like San Diego. You know, a little colder than San Diego, but, you know, kind of like mild throughout the whole year for the most part. You know, compared to here where it's like 106 degrees outside right now, you know? So, as you guys can see, it's a major city. It has, you know, all kinds of things. And, you know, it's all accessible to everyone there. You know, let me show you something. So we were staying. Okay, so by the way, look how cool this is, all right? By the way, so again, you know, it's a happy accident. I'm wearing this shirt, Nirvana, Seattle. We're going to be talking about Seattle next in the next show. There's an area called Seattle, okay? We were staying in the area of Seattle, believe it or not. again, happy accident. You know, it's just when we finally got the Airbnb, it just so happened to be in this neighborhood called Seattle. But just so you can get an idea, here, like, this is right by where we were staying. We were walking down this path. I mean, check this out. So, you know, I don't know if you guys can kind of see it there, but this path over here on the right is like a giant, you know, walking path, you know, bike lanes, you know, people are walking their dogs there, you know, doing all kinds of fancy stuff. You'll see more later because, again, I filmed, you know, a lot of this, and you got to see I was walking around a lot, you know, filming as much as I can. I got over 600 gigabytes, okay, of footage, of all kinds of footage. I was even riding a horse, okay, so expect that later. Yeah. Sorry, Lambo's getting a little jealous back there, but you know, I was even riding, we rode a horse and everything, right? So we did all kinds of cool stuff. So it's an amazing city. And I really, really enjoyed it. And I loved it a lot, okay? I loved it a lot, okay? I walked through a lot of this area. We walked in that park over here. That's where we rode the horses. You know, they have a Japanese garden, all this other stuff. You know, we were out here in the downtown of Zapopan. We went to, you know, downtown Guadalajara. You know, we walked a lot. We walked all of this. We walked in, you know, we went to this church, walked through this park, walked all the way to, you know, this church here, the main, you know, giant cathedral. We walked, we came out here to this market, okay, and so on and so forth. So we were there. We also came to, I think the Mercado de Abastos, you know, which is another main, you know, market. We came to this touristy area, which is Tlaquepaque, which is also pretty cool. This is very, very true. It's a magic. So this is like a magic village. All right. What is it? Pueblo Mágico. And it's basically in the middle of the city, which was really, really cool as well. So look at this. So, you know, hopefully you guys will, again, enjoy all the footage and all the stuff that I'm going to be showing you. But yeah, man, we were just thoroughly impressed. And we were thoroughly impressed by how rich the city was, but also how big and diverse the city was and how much, you know, there was to do and how easy it was to get from point A to point B. Because look, we were staying up here by the auditorium, okay, and we took it, you know, we took the train all the way down here to the Tlaquepaque, you know, all the way down here. So all right, and it didn't take us that long. It took us like 20 minutes, you know, or something like that, maybe 30 minutes tops. And we walked, you know, we walked from the train station to the train station, from the train station. And, you know, really cool. You know, like I said, you know, there's malls, you know, they have all kinds of fancy things out here, you know, Tesla dealerships, you know, you name it. But the point is that a lot of the awesome stuff from the city was basically, available to everybody, you know, not just available to certain individuals with of certain high incomes. No, it didn't matter who you were and what your income was. You have access to everything. Okay, so like just like this giant park here. You know, this is like an amazing, beautiful park, which you guys are going to see in detail, you know, later on in the coming weeks. You know, anyone can just walk in there. You know, there's no fee, you know, no fee to park, you know, no fee to, you know, do anything in there. You know, if you're going to buy something in the park, you know, it was like, you know, 50 cents for a bottle of water, you know, things like that. You know, when we rode the horses, you know, I was expecting to pay like 20, 25 US dollars to ride the horses. No, it was $5. Well, $6 now because of the exchange rate. But, I mean, it was just amazing. You know, even food. You know, right by where I was staying, we had a bunch of amazing food options, okay? You know, everything from taco stands to actually, you know, actual restaurants to breakfast spots, you know, to all kinds of things. And every time we got the bill, I was in shock by how affordable it was. I mean, you know, I went to the taco stand and I had literally 12 tacos. Okay, 12 tacos here. Let me see if I can do the conversion real quick here. Uno segundo. 12 tacos, and it was like 160 pesos. So 12, and they were like amazing tacos. You know, some of the best tacos I had like in a very long time. And 160 pesos is, look at that. No, wait, that's not it. Okay, sorry. 160 is, you know, less than $10. Okay, $9.75. Okay. Yeah, man, the dollar has lost a lot of value. Jesus, man. Holy guacamole. But anyways, sorry about that. Yeah, man. So that's like an important factor too. You know, the fact that, The dollar is losing a lot of value, and we talk about this on this channel as well, and we're going to be talking about that, going forward, not just here but in other videos. The fact that, for a lot of people, Mexico is starting to become unaffordable, but for Mexicans, not necessarily. For Mexicans, it's becoming, well, it's the same, it's not really that unaffordable. The inflation isn't hitting as hard depending on where you're living, and so on and so forth. So, because again, it's relative, sure, things are a little bit more expensive in Mexico as a whole, but they're making more money. Now, it's not everywhere. Again, you go to a place like Merida, which is where I live, and things are getting extremely expensive, because they are. I got to really see it firsthand by going to Guadalajara and being in a rich city with a lot of money and seeing, wait a minute, you know what I mean? Like 160 pesos. That's like a pizza here in Merida, like a crappy pizza. Okay. On top of that. So a crappy pizza in Merida is 160 pesos. And over there I get 12 tacos. And we went to another place that sold pizzas, and we got like these personal pizzas, which was a little smaller than the pizza I get here for a 160. And those pizzas were going for 55 pesos. Okay, 55 pesos, which that's like $3. Okay, just so you can get an idea. So, but the thing is about a place like Guadalajara is that it's not for everyone, simply because it's a major city. So if you're coming, if you're younger, okay, if you're a younger foreigner, a younger immigrant, okay, expat, if you're in the younger crowd, well, a place like Guadalajara is amazing, because you can come out here and you can actually work in the economy or start your own business or whatever it is, and you're going to be earning pesos, and well, you're going to be able to really, really, enjoy the fruits of your labor. But as the dollar keeps losing value, or the Canadian dollar, but we're just sticking to the US dollar here. As the US dollar keeps losing value and the Mexican peso keeps getting stronger, well, and guess what? If you're just coming out here, to retire, or you're relying on an online job or some sort of job that's paying you in dollars and you're not making that much money, well, it's going to get more and more difficult. And especially if you're going to be living in a major city. That's why a lot of times sleepy towns, on the beach, or even just sleepy towns in the mountains, or sleepy towns, quiet towns, non-touristy places, are becoming more of an option for retirees. Assuming they still want to come out to Mexico, because again, as I've told a lot of you guys, as things get more expensive in dollars, meaning the dollar keeps losing value, it might not be a good option anymore to even come to Mexico. It might just be a better option to move to another part of the USA, which I've said multiple times. So again, if you're moving to Mexico, make sure that you want to move out here because you want to be part of the culture. You want to immerse yourself, okay, in the country, in the customs. You don't mind the noise, okay? You like the food. You want to speak Spanish. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to be, immersed, and integrated as humanly possible into Mexico. Because if you're just coming to Mexico to save a few bucks, might not be the best option for you anymore. Go find somewhere else cheaper. In fact, for a lot of people that are just looking to save a few bucks, you might as well just find a cheaper place in the USA to move and live in. Now, I get it. A lot of people are leaving the USA because, well, they want things like freedom. They want things like, nice parks, better infrastructure, better quality of life, so on and so forth. And so that's where they're looking, into Mexico. And so, Guadalajara is an option for those of you guys that want something like that. Again, me and Christian, we really loved it, okay? So, again, we want to go visit again, and we're seriously considering, checking it out further, okay? I'll leave it there. But, because a place like Merida, it's just like any other kind of beach city town kind of area, where it has a lot of limitations. But again, some people are looking for that. Some people are looking for, again, the peace, the quiet, the heat, the beach, the calm, safety, that comes with a lot of these things, and so on and so forth. Because again, living in a place like Guadalajara, well, it's a major city. I'm not saying it's dangerous, because we felt extremely safe there. We felt extremely, happy there. We really didn't have anything to worry about when it came to anything like that. But Obviously, you know, the concerns of being in a major city, you know, are there. You know, just like in LA. Look, a lot of people talk about Los Angeles as a very dangerous place. But when I lived there, you know, I really didn't experience that much danger or felt in danger almost ever. But coming from Miami, you know, danger's every, you know, all over the place. I know things have changed and things are calmer and more relaxed now. But, you know, at least the way I grew up in real danger. I grew up in a real kind of crazy place. So, you know, when I would, you know, go visit other places in the USA, they weren't that dangerous. So when I went to Guadalajara, well, I kind of got the same kind of vibes, you know, where it was just more like LA. You know, obviously, you know, there's crime, you know, but it's more like petty crime. And a lot of it isn't even, you know, targeting you. You know, it's targeting maybe small businesses, you know, or something like that, where, you know, just some guy goes to rob an OXXO, you know, or a 7-Eleven or whatever, you know, but nothing crazy. And like I said, I never felt unsafe. And in fact, and most of the times that we were walking around and doing, you know, all the things that we were doing out there, we saw a lot of police. Okay, a lot of well-trained police, a lot of very nice police officers. You know me and how much I love authority. Anyways, the police and the authority here, they were really cool and really nice, and there were, you know, a lot of them. And like I said, it felt very nice and very safe and very, you know, it was cool. You know, I really enjoyed it. You know, a lot of people, you know, again, there was a lot of people doing, you know, there was more people doing, you know, fitness and exercise there than I seen here in Merida. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, they're running, you know, walking, you know, no matter what the time of day, you know, walking their dogs, riding their bikes. You know, just doing a lot of outdoor activities. Also, you know, as I was walking around, you know, depending on the time of the day, but let's say like in the morning or in the afternoon, you know, usually around rush hour, there was a lot of people, not just, you know, there was traffic, but there was a lot of people walking around, you know, walking from, you know, their job to the train station or from their job to their house or biking or whatever it is, you know, so a lot of people were more, you know, doing all that stuff. So, and speaking of things like rush hour and, a lot of people in the city, you know, one thing that I didn't notice, you know, I love the city, but one thing I did not like, but hey, it is what it is. You know, again, this is, you know, par to the course when it comes to a major city, is that, yes, you know, there was pollution there. Now, it was very light. I'm not going to lie to you. Okay, like I said, you know what I mean? I've lived in LA and things like that. And, you know, the pollution there was light in comparison to what you would see in Los Angeles, you know, or other places, even Mexico City, which is crazy polluted. You know, I'm talking about air pollution more than anything else. But in Guadalajara, you know, it was kind of like, you know, just a little light pollution, you know, and those allergies, you know, maybe, you know, a combination of both, you know, it made it like, you know, sometimes a little unpleasant, but not really, not unpleasant enough where I didn't like it, okay? But, it was also dry. You know, the weather was dry. You know, I'm used to more humidity. You know, so out here in Merida, Florida, you know, a lot of humidity. It's good for the skin, good for, you know, just good, I guess. You know, remember, not everybody likes humidity. But out there in Guadalajara, it was just more dry. Now, it wasn't hot. You know, again, like the hottest I think it got was like 91. But that wasn't hot. Again, I come from 90. I come from a place where it's like 106 right now. But even at 91, it felt more like 85, okay? And it really wasn't that bad because, again, at nighttime, it would dip down into the 50s, you know? So it was very nice, okay? So the fact that it was a constant, you know, weather change, you know, from, you know, it was nice and hot, you know, meaning you can go outside and walk around and you'll break a little bit of a sweat, you know, depending on who you are. You know me, I sweat a lot. So I was always going to break into a little sweat here or there. But again, as opposed to like when I lived in Seattle, for example, which is like very rare for me to ever even sweat over there, okay, which I hated. So out here in Guadalajara, I was, you know, you get to go out and if you're walking around, you're doing exercise, you're doing your thing, you're going to, you know, maybe break a little sweat, maybe. If you're just doing light kind of exercise or walking, you're probably not going to sweat. But it was nice, you know, it was nice heat. It wasn't like overbearing heat like you're going to find out here in a place like Merida. And the weather, you know, again, and it cooled down, okay? And it was also very cool every night. So basically, you know, you got your little bit of a heat wave during the day, and then it would cool down, and it would just kind of rinse and repeat. Now, I did a little bit more research on the weather here, and again, it seems like it's kind of like San Diego weather. Now, it does rain, and they do have a rainy season, and, you know, they got seasons, which is also pretty cool. But at the end of the day, it's pretty mild weather in comparison to, you know, what you might be used to coming from, I don't know, the Northeast in the USA, Fargo, whatever. You know what I mean? You know, there's so many places out there where the weather is very, you know, excessive. It seems like the weather here is nice. But the pollution comes just from the fact that, you know, it's like, I don't know how many people, but like 8-9 million people living in the whole metropolitan area. And, you know, obviously the cars, the traffic, and the fact that it's in the mountains and it's like in a valley. So a lot of that gets trapped. Just like in LA, a lot of it gets trapped because it's like, you know, kind of like almost like in a weird valley type situation, and that smog or whatever kind of gets stuck there. Same as Mexico City, same as some of these cities where, you know, that smog or air pollution has nowhere to go. Now, the benefit of living in a place like Florida or Merida, the Yucatan, is that it's very little, if any, you know, smog or pollution because, well, it's flat. And, you know, it just, you know, all that gets to move away with the winds. You know, the winds blow all of that away for the most part. So even though Miami has millions and millions of people out there, you know, the pollution there was almost non-existent because of all the winds that would constantly, you know, take it out of there. And even though Guadalajara would, again, and you know, get windier, it's kind of like trapped, you know, in that valley, same as, you know, Mexico City or any other place like this. So that was a little bit of a downside, you know, to living here, but not enough, you know, for not to live there. Because look, I loved Los Angeles and the pollution there was way worse. And it wasn't bad enough for me not to live there. Because in Los Angeles, I remember every single morning you would go outside. By the way, you know, I don't know how the weather is right now, but when I lived there, you know, it never rained. The weather was, you know, pretty perfect. You know, it's Los Angeles, Hollywood, right? But every single morning you would go outside and you would, you know, you could run your finger on your car or on anything, really, on your balcony, on anything. And you would just get like this giant, you know, what is it like? Dark spot. You know, basically you're just, you know, getting all this brake dust, all this pollution that would come off all the cars, you know, that would be driving around. So nothing like that was here. You know, I didn't see any of that here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, again, I don't know if it's a problem like that or not, but it seemed like it was very mild in comparison to what I've experienced before. Like, again, even Mexico City. In Mexico City, it was hard to breathe for crying out loud. That's how bad the pollution is there, you know, a lot of the time. So, but at the end of the day, you know what I mean? Like, if I were to give Guadalajara, you know, the whole area, you know, Zapopan, you know, mainly is where we stayed, but whatever, Guadalajara. If I'm going to give a Yelp review on Guadalajara, I'd give it 5 stars. You know what I mean? I really, really, really loved it. And like I said, the one only downside, you know, that I saw was, again, a little bit of the dryness because I'm, you know, for me, I prefer humidity. I know most people don't like humidity. They prefer dry. So, you know, that would be good, I guess, you know, depending on who you ask. And then, like, the mild pollution. But the pollution is just kind of, you know, it is, again, par for the course for a major, major city. And so, you know, again, we were there during a holiday weekend where, you know, the kids were not in school. So the traffic was not as bad. Everyone kept telling us, you know, that the traffic is usually worse. So, you know, we would like to go back, you know, during a time where, you know, the traffic is normal. And so we get to really see how bad the traffic is. But, you know, again, you know, I feel like there's a lot of mass transit options that kind of like make it, you know, easier to move around and you don't always need a car, you know. So, you know, they have like, you know, again, we were on the train and the train was awesome. You know what I mean? The fact that, you know, even when we were riding the train at peak rush hour on a Friday, for example, it wasn't so bad. You know what I mean? I was expecting to be, you know, kind of like, you know, all huddled up together like a box of sardines, but it wasn't that bad. You know what I mean? Again, maybe it has to do with the holiday weekend. I mean, the holiday week, you know, that they had, but it was great. So, yeah, like I said, so, you know, to me, you know, if I'm going to grade, you know, Guadalajara and our experience there, it was amazing. You know, we thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. I definitely recommend anyone out there to go visit it. I don't know if it's a place that a lot of people want to live, because the one thing about Guadalajara that I liked a lot, at least for me, is that it's Mexican, man. It's just as Mexican as it gets. So, you know, in other parts of Mexico right now, you know, like, again, you go to Oaxaca, you come to Mérida, you go to Mazatlán, you go to Puerto Escondido, you know, certain neighborhoods in Mexico City, whatever. You know, the complaint is, you know, or the gentrification, you know, again, quote unquote complaint, is that, you know, things are starting to, you know, cater to, you know, foreigners, expats, you know, immigrants, you know, from the USA or Canada or Europe. And so what does that mean? Well, you know, well, it's as simple as, you know, things are in English in many places. You know, things are not authentically as Mexican as they were or should be, because, again, they're catering to the tourist or the new foreigners that are moving in and things like that. And so it starts to lose a little bit of what makes Mexico, Mexico. But one thing I loved about Guadalajara is that it didn't have that problem at all. You know, Guadalajara is, like I said, it's like its own hub, you know, of industry and agriculture and all this other stuff. So it's more like it wasn't changing. You know what I mean? It's not changing. It doesn't need to cater to any outsiders at all. And so it is Mexican as can get. So you're not going to go to places. You know, there are a few neighborhoods. Again, a few neighborhoods in a giant city. But a few neighborhoods, like, again, Colonia Americana, you know, again, American colony. I mean, come on, the American consulate's there, for crying out loud. So, you know, outside of a few tiny little spots where you're obviously going to see a little English here or there, you're not really going to see that. You're not going to see any, there's no catering to, you know, Americans, which for me personally, I like. Because remember, I speak, you know, perfect Spanish. Well, you know, as perfect as I can for a Cuban. But, you know, I speak fluent Spanish is what I meant to say. And so for me, it's great because I want to experience the real Mexico. You know, out here in a place like Mérida or other places, you know, it's touristy. You know, just like the touristy areas in Florida. Because, again, just like in Florida, in Miami, you know, there are neighborhoods and areas that are just, you know, Latino and Cuban and Spanish and whatever. And other areas that are American. And then other areas, you know, again, that are touristy, you know, and they're basically, you know, only for tourists. So, you know, a place like Mérida, for example, is nice and great. But, yeah, you know, it was a quick reminder of how touristy this city and area is. Not just Mérida, but Cancun and, you know, the whole Yucatan, you know, that it's very touristy. And as that industry grows, as more people move out here that are foreigners, well, it's catering more to that. Same thing as places like Oaxaca. You know, again, there's a problem with all that too. Again, like in a place like Lake Chapala, Mazatlan, whatever. We'll be talking about more of that in future episodes. But again, in Guadalajara, it's not like that at all. You know what I mean? Again, like Guadalajara, it's like 8-9 million Mexicans, you know, living their Mexican life. And they got money. And they got this. So, you know, there are influences of, you know, American culture all over the place. Again, I got this shirt there. Okay? You know, we went to Guadalajara and we had burgers and pizza. Really good, by the way, really good burgers, really good pizza. You know, really good American food, really good American culture. Okay, that was there. You know, just like you would go in the USA and you would go to a really good Mexican restaurant, for example. Or a really good Chinese restaurant, whatever. But in Mexico, I mean, sorry, in Guadalajara, it's you know, it's Mexican. It's very, very, very Mexican. And even though there's a lot of, you know, cultural influences, you know, from other countries like the USA, you know, the major cultural influencer, it was Mexican, man. You know what I mean? It was just very Mexican. There was nobody there catering. And no one's going to be catering to, like, any gringos out there. You know, it's just 100%. You know, at least from my experience of what I saw and most of the city. Again, there are certain areas that are touristy, okay, which we're going to talk about in a second, like Tlaquepaque. So, this is what we did there on our last day. And we went to Tlaquepaque. And in Tlaquepaque, all right, it's super touristy. Okay, and when we went there, we realized, oh, okay, you know, especially in the center. Here, where's it's Centro de Tlaquepaque, the touristy area. Da-da-da-da-da. Is this? But anyways, when we went there, oh, there it is. Is this it? Yeah, there it is. Okay. It was extremely, extremely touristy. And how did we know? Well, by the price increase, the price jump in many things. Okay. And, you know, as we were walking around, you know, going to restaurants, going to whatever, we realized, oh, wait a minute, things here are expensive because they're catering to the foreigner. You know, again, for Mexican foreigners, you know, Mexican tourists, American tourists, Canadian tourists, touristy. It's a magic town. Again, check this out. Look where the dot is on the map. Okay. And look, that is a magic pueblo in the middle of this giant city. The airport's all the way down here. You see that blue spot next to my head, right there? Right there. See it? I'm pointing right. That's the airport. Okay. So look how far away the airport is, okay, from the middle of the city. And again, look at that village in the middle of the city. Okay. So believe it or not, things were more expensive here than in downtown Guadalajara, which is pretty crazy to me, you know, and even more, and just as, again, more expensive as well as, you know, in Zapopan, you know, which is, you know, so one of the richest neighborhoods or richest areas in Guadalajara, which, by the way, I didn't know until we got there, you know, I had no idea. It's not like I picked, you know, whatever. We went on day one, we went to this place right here, which is the Mercado de Abastos. You know, this is where all the food is. It's basically, you know, the main market, okay, for everybody, you know, but not just for everybody, but for restaurants and businesses. So if you're a restaurant, your business, you come here and you, you know, you buy your stuff in bulk, okay? As you guys can see here from the pictures, all right? Oh, there we go, sorry. All right, we're just going to kind of go. But anyway, it's also an open market, open to everybody, okay? And there was a lot of really cool stuff there. See, look, those are the berries, you know, like for very cheap. Another thing, so like, for example, I talked about in other episodes here where I talk about olive oil. I use olive oil a lot. And like a bottle of olive oil like this is like $10 or more here. And over there, you know, for the same brand, same everything, we got like, you know, you can get like a liter or a gallon, okay, of olive oil for that price. You know, so just to give you an example, you know what I mean? So it's not just like, you know, what they grow there, but it's so many other things. Look, you can see some of the prices there. I know this is 2019, so it's not, but anywho's. And, you know, they have a lot more access to so much more, you know, so it was very, very nice to see the availability of so much more abundance, you know, of all kinds of things that we just don't have here in the Yucatan. All right. So yeah, no, it was very, very nice. But like I said, the most expensive part of our trip and of the city, you know, that we saw, okay, was Tlaquepaque. But Tlaquepaque was a tourist heavy, tourist only spot, okay? As opposed to, you know, where we were in Zapopan, and we were in the downtown Zapopan, we were there. It's not really that touristy, you know. It's like when you go as a tourist to Guadalajara, most tourists don't even visit Zapopan, okay? In fact, only locals, you know, for the most part, stay in the Zapopan area, okay? So that was also really cool, really interesting. But it's huge, you know what I mean? Like, this whole area was pretty huge, which was, you know, again, very surprising, because I was not expecting, you know, the area to be, you know, so huge, and so expensive. Not expensive, expansive, okay? Like I said, you know, that's another thing that I realized, is that, you know, things in Mérida are actually getting more expensive by, you know, just being here and seeing what the cost of living is out here compared to Mérida. And it's like, oh, okay, I see, you know, it really is getting more expensive in Mérida. Okay, where I live. So that's something that, you know, again, we have taken, you know, into account, you know, as we came back here and living here. But again, I mentioned why things are more expensive here now, okay? Because when I moved, you know, when I moved to Mérida 6 years ago, it was supposed to be, well, it was one of the cheapest, more affordable places to live in all of Mexico. And fast forward today to 6 years, you know, in fast forward or whatever, you know, 6 years later, it is now one of the most expensive places to live. And when you go to a rich city, or city, again, that has a lot of money, okay, people driving BMWs, Teslas, you know, very fancy cars, very fancy buildings, you know, all kinds of, you know, money just everywhere. You and then you see the prices of housing, you see the prices of food, you see the prices of everything. You're like, oh, I see. I totally get it. But again, you know, for someone that doesn't even speak Spanish, moving to Guadalajara would be probably more difficult than moving to Mérida or Lake Chapala or Mazatlán or Puerto Escondido or whatever. You know, because again, they're catering more to you than anything else, as opposed to Guadalajara, which, you know, again, outside of, you know, the Tlaquepaque area. Or what was the other area? I think it's the other area, which is the Colonia. Oh, there it is. Okay. See, Colonia Americana. You know, outside of those areas, you know, you're not going to find, you know, that much, you know, what is it, catering to Americans. Okay. So, look, let's just walk. Let me just show you this area here. So you guys can see what it looks like there. So this is a Colonia Americana, all right? See? Very nice as well. They have another, you know, walkway, bikeway through the center there. A lot of buildings, you know, a lot of restaurants and bars and places that, you know, you might enjoy. You know what I mean? That some people might enjoy. Again, the younger crowd, more than anything else, will enjoy. See? All right. See, you got bars, you know, best place. See, look, in English, the best place in town, you see? So this area is called Chapultepec, okay? This avenue is Avenida Chapultepec. And Avenida Chapultepec is like, again, like Paseo Montejo here in Mérida, all right? You see, like, the giant buildings, apartment buildings, all kinds of things. Let's see if we can jump to the other side of the street. Okay, see? Guinness. So you guys can get an idea. All right, I'm gonna be checking out the comments. Okay, so if you guys have any questions or any comments or anything you want to add, you want to, you know, have me kind of talk about, whatever, let me know. Okay, so now we're gonna see if we can open the discussion a bit. But you see, look, all right, see, Black Coffee Gallery. See, it's in English. See, Cervecería. This is in Spanish. You know, like a beer house. You know, Chapultepec Beer House. But see, in these areas, it's also very different, you know, in the sense that, like, yeah, there's a few more Americans or a few more foreigners. But, you know, also the Mexicans that live there, they want to, you know, also experience all that. You know, they want to live all that, you know. Look, just like there's Americans in the USA that, you know, love Asian culture, love Mexican culture, love whatever culture, any other culture out there. Well, there's a lot of Mexicans that also love, you know, Asian culture, Korean culture, American culture, whatever it is. And so, you know, sometimes even more than their own. Okay, see? So just FYI, all right? Let's just, you know, got to keep that in mind as well. But you can look at the city. I mean, look at this. You know, this is not, you know, we're not in a, you know, in a burro, you know, in, you know, like on a donkey in the middle of nowhere here, you know? It's a nice, nice looking city, you know? Nice looking area. Okay, look at that. Look at that. Look at it. I'm looking up. All right, so this is like, again, Colonia Americana, okay? You know, on, so look, Starbucks, Chapultepec, okay? You see? Next to the fitness, next to the whatever. You can get your Starbucks here if you want. If that's what you're into. Okay? All right, let me see what... So shout out to everyone out there watching. You know, I really appreciate it. Hope you guys are enjoying the show so far. Val Rex says, do you think the crime situation in Guadalajara is overstated? Mexicans always warn me that it's dangerous, so I moved to Xalapa, Veracruz instead. Well, the thing is, it's like, it all depends, you know. Like I said, I spent a lot of time in the city, you know, and we were staying mainly up here in this area. Okay, so we were staying up here in the, like I said, the Seattle area. Okay, so we were staying here, and it was nice, you know what I mean? Like, I was not, you know, I never felt, you know, we were staying here, actually, like around here. Okay, so I never felt danger, or I never felt unsafe, or I never felt anything like that. But, I mean, you know, when we were in certain areas, you know, we were, like, especially in the downtown Guadalajara or whatever, it didn't feel dangerous either. But, you know, I was constantly on guard, Because, you know, every once in a while we would have some, you know, weird, shady character kind of seeing that we were tourists. You know, again, just like any other major city. And they would just kind of like hover around a little bit to see if we would let our guard down, to see if they can, you know, pickpocket or steal something or whatever. So like I said, the danger is more like petty crime, but not, you know, crime, you know, like murder or death or anything horrible like that. Like, you know, again, you find in any U.S. city these days, you know, no one's going to be gunning you down. No one's going to be, you know, again, kidnapping you. No one's going to be doing any of that stuff, you know. But is there petty crime? Well, yeah, you know, just like any other major city with millions and millions and millions of inhabitants, okay? So that's basically it, you know what I mean? Like I said, that's the, you know, the level of danger that I saw. Now, again, I did not go to any shady neighborhoods, but we did get close and we did walk around. You know, we did a lot of walking, okay? So, look, we were here in Tlaquepaque, for example, right? And we walked, you know, through all this over here on this end, okay, to get to the train, because the train is here. Here, let me just show you real quick so you can get an idea. All right. You see, there's the train, okay? And we walked around, you know, these areas here, and we felt safe. But again, you know, I'm sure it's a little bit of a rough part of town, and maybe at nighttime, it's a little bit rougher. And again, just using common sense, it's more unsafe. The, like, okay, this is how it works in the hood, because I'm from the hood, okay? You know, in the USA and things like that. If you live in the hood, if you're from the hood, if you're, you know, in there all day, every day, listen, it's a lot safer for you because you know everybody, they know you, and, you know, it's you know the whole situation. But if you're in the hood and you're not from the hood, then yes, you know, the level of danger increases. But what kind of danger are you really in? Like I said, petty crime. You know, you might get your phone stolen. You know, you might get, you know, your wallet stolen. You know, you might get, you know, like, that's it. That's it. You know, but no physical danger of any kind that I'm aware of, you know, like that I experienced. Like I said, I didn't experience anything like that, you know. So that's the train. And then basically, you know, you just take any one of these kind of side streets to get to the center. Here, is that a side street there? Yeah, so you would take that and that will take you, you know, to, you know, the center of Tlaquepaque, which is, you know, the touristy area. Okay. We see it looks, you know, very similar to where I live right now in Mérida. If anything, maybe a little nicer. And this is, you know, maybe a little hood per se. You follow me? So, just FYI. Because you can see it. You can see, like, it's a little rough. Okay? But, is it that rough? I mean, that's the thing, though. You know what I mean? Looks can be deceiving many times. All right? All right? So, you see? So, you know, just to give you some perspective on the situation. So, we walked, you know, and we had no, you know, no fear of any danger. And when we were in Guadalajara, you know, again, you know, you're walking through certain areas. Here, this is like a main street. Check this out here. Oh, that's a tunnel. Yeah, they got tunnels. Where was it? Was it, I think it was this street. Okay. So obviously, again, you know, if you're walking in downtown anywhere, you know, again, you're going to have a, you know, heightened sense of, you know, you got to be careful. Again, same thing. You know, no one's going to be shooting you or kidnapping you or, you know, doing anything horrible like that. But, you know, if you're down one of these streets and there's nobody on that street and there's a bad guy, you know, that's looking to steal wallets or phones and, you know, and you don't know how to protect yourself or whatever, then yeah. You know, or, and again, sometimes it's not like a violent confrontation. Sometimes it's simply you could be in a crowd and somebody kind of just like maybe bumps into you and, you know, boop, pickpockets you. You know how that works. But like I said, it's not anything that I would have felt in danger. Again, maybe me, I have a little bit of a skewed, you know, version. I mean, was that a skewed idea of danger, you know, coming from Miami and coming from more dangerous areas and then being in dangerous areas of like Los Angeles, for example. If you're coming from small town USA with no crime or nothing ever going on, then yeah, you know, a big city like Guadalajara might be extremely scary and dangerous. Okay, it's just being honest. But if you yourself, if you come from a big city or area, I mean, again, you already practice common sense and practice, you know, just basic survival skills and, you know, all that stuff that comes from living in a big city. Again, if you're coming from New York City, if you're coming from, you know, East L.A. or certain neighborhoods in L.A., Echo Park, whatever, you know, I don't know, the Valley, whatever, you'll be fine. You know, you'll be totally fine because you already got, you know, your spidey sense is already kind of going off all the time. But if you're coming from, you know, a small town, you know, like maybe Fargo, or you're coming from, you know, just certain areas where you don't see any crime or any, and it's not a big city, then yeah, you know what I mean? You might be more of a target just simply because you're not aware of your surroundings. Again, it's a lot of a situational awareness that you have to have. But that's it. So, but yeah, just again, no fear, be smart. Again, if you show fear, you know, again, that they can smell that on you. You know, they can smell it. So that, you know, obviously they're going to, you know, want to probably target you even more. But again, they're going to target you for bullshit. You know what I mean? For bull crap. Sorry, pardon my French there. It's not like I said, you know, see, I say this all the time. You know, people are always scared. Or what is it? The main, you know, what is it? Like the main concern a lot of Americans have, you know, with Mexico is that, oh, they're going to kidnap me. Listen, they don't kidnap anybody. Okay, and again, they're not going to be kidnapping your dumbass to, what, take your social security check? I mean, come on. You know, like, you've seen this city already, and I've shown you, you know, what this city looks like. You know, a lot of these buildings, like, who do you think is behind this? You know, because, again, you know, the crime organizations out there in Mexico, you know, they're the ones that are, you know, building a lot of this infrastructure. You know, they care about business. So, you know, why, you know, they care more about building these buildings and maintaining, you know, life out here, okay, and cashing in, you know, like the real mafia does, aka the U.S. government or the government out there. They, you know, they care more about, you know, functioning in that sense than going out there trying to, what, kidnap you, you know, for your social security check or trying to rob you on the street. No, you know, I mean, like the ones, you know, like I said, you know, it's not what people think. All right. You know, look, Mexico's a look at this. It's a giant city with buildings and infrastructure and all kinds of things. And it's like, yeah, man. You know what I mean? They're interested in the big bucks, okay? And the big bucks, you know, comes from big business, okay? Not from petty crime on the street, all right? Or not from, you know, again, and again, think about it. Think about the reality of what the news is. If kidnapping, you know, for example, was really a big deal, like if they're really kidnapping Americans or really kidnapping, you know, foreigners out there on a regular basis in Mexico, don't you think that that would be all over CNN, all over, you know, Fox News, headline news, whatever it is, constantly? I mean, they already spread enough fake news about the dangers of what it is to live out here without there actually being any kind of anything. Imagine if there actually was something for them to actually cover. Okay, like, so that's the thing too, you know, you got to keep that in mind that, you know, there's a lot of not real news out there, okay, a lot of misconceptions as to what it is to be out here, okay. Again, Guadalajara is a major city, you know, Mérida is a small city, you know, we have a million or less people here. Guadalajara has like 8-9 million, I don't know, whatever, you know, the metropolitan area has, it's a lot more people than here, okay. Robert says that I have also heard that there are great medical facilities there. Probably. I mean, you know, I wouldn't doubt it, you know, with all the money that there is in this city. I would, you know, I would take a guess that yes, you know what I mean? They probably do have amazing, you know, medical care and medical facilities here in Guadalajara. Because if we have them here in Mérida, I would assume that they have them there as well, or more, or better. Steven says, Guadalajara is very safe. I have left the casino at 2 a.m. and gotten in a complete stranger's car. They asked me if I needed a taxi, and I said, sure. I gave them 100 pesos for a quick ride. See, there you go. Mexico for Mexicans. That's right. That's right. So that's what I like about Guadalajara. Guadalajara is very Mexican, you know, extremely Mexican. You know, they're not looking to cater, you know, to any outsiders there. So George says, thanks, Jose. Great city review. Great to see boots on the ground perspective. And you're going to be seeing more boots on the ground perspective. Like I said, I recorded a lot. Oh, we got Carlos in there. We got somebody in the chat, you know, that is, you know, someone that doesn't like, you know, foreigners. And by the way, look, as Americans, we know there are Americans in the United States that are, you know, anti-immigrants, anti-immigration. So you're going to find that here in Mexico, too. You know, you're going to find like Carlos Alberto. But again, if you literally, you know, ask the typical Mexican is not like Carlos Alberto. OK, the typical Mexican is very receptive and open to, you know, Americans, to tourists, you know, to foreigners, to whatever, as long as you behave, you know, just like in the USA, you know, don't be going to the USA and trying to change the USA or acting a fool, you know, people are not going to like it. So it's the same thing here, you know, by the way, we're going to be talking about this in the future, but, you know, that's like a major concern too, where there's a lot of Americans, you know, that are coming to Mexico and they're trying, again, I say trying because they haven't succeeded and they won't succeed, but they have tried to change the culture and change the way things are out here in Mexico. And it does not end well at all. You know what I mean? Anytime they do that, you know, they're quickly reminded, you know, that like Carlos says, Mexico is for Mexicans. And if you're coming to Mexico, you better act accordingly and you better assimilate. And you better, you know, want, you know, to enjoy what Mexico is, because if you are here trying to change it or make it something different, they're going to kick your ass out of here quicker than you can even think about it, right? So, and we're seeing a lot of that. And again, a lot of times, you know, who is to blame for a lot of these changes? It's other Mexicans as well, because you got to remember who owns a lot of the businesses and a lot of the touristy gentrified areas. Well, it's Mexicans and they want to make more money. It's all about greed. So then they see the tourists come, right? You know, they see the money come. And so then all of a sudden they're changing their ways in order to cater to them. And, you know, of course, there's a lot of resentment from certain Mexicans out there, but not all Mexicans. Remember, there's a lot of Mexicans that are making a lot of money from all this and taking advantage of this. But that's the thing, too. You know, those same Mexicans, you know, that are gentrifying and catering to these, you know, foreigners and expats. And again, and man, this is the truth. You know, a lot of times, you know, there are certain places in Mexico, you know, Oaxaca, Mexico City, whatever, where if you're Mexican, they won't even let you in the establishment because it's for foreigners only and for Americans only or for, you know, ballers only. So again, but who's to blame for that? It's not the foreigners, you know, it's the business owners, which are Mexican, okay? And they are exhibiting racism, okay? And it is what it is. It happens in the USA, too. It happens all over the world. This is nothing new. So, you know, you got to keep that in mind, too. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the truth. Look, in like in Mazatlan, for example, you know, right now there's a situation where, you know, there's a hotel, a Mexican-owned hotel, okay? And the Mexican owner, okay, in that hotel is... you know, was putting signs on the beach, you know, telling the Mexicans to keep it down, to not play their loud banda music because, you know, the American tourists, you know, they want to listen to classical music. They want to listen to, you know, they want to calm and, you know, and do their yoga and listen to the whatever. And please, you got to keep it quiet here. And so what did the Mexicans do in protest? Well, now they got, you know, bandas, you know, up the ass, you know, they got bandas everywhere, you know, they're basically bing, bong, bong, bing, bing, bong, 24 hours, 7 days a week, you know, and protest. And so you told them to keep it down. And what did they do? Now they're going to not keep it down. In fact, they set a Guinness World Record, okay, for, you know, having the most amount of bandas, you know, Mexican bandas, you know, at one time playing music, doing their thing. So they take it to the extreme, okay? Remember, Mexicans are also American. So, you know, it comes a lot with, you know, how Americans, you know, in the U.S. also take it to the extreme. So when people try to come out here and try to change the culture, Mexicans quickly, you know, act very aggressively. And like, again, just try to tell an American that they can't drink their beer and, you know, ride their, you know, what is it, like their big truck, you know, or whatever it is, you know, just try to tell an American how to live their life in the USA, and you're going to see how quickly they're going to, you know, push back. It's the same thing in Mexico. So again, Mexico is very open and very receptive, and they love, you know, the cultural exchange, and they love, you know, they're loving people, man. I love Mexico. But, you know, don't be coming out here, you know, trying to tell them how to live their life, how to do this, how to do that, how to whatever. But it's a complicated issue that, you know, we're going to be talking about more in future episodes, okay? But yeah, exactly. You know, foreigners are not to blame for the gentrification, because again, you know, you got to think about that. You know, you put all the foreigners, you know, all the Americans and Canadians combined, okay, you know, that are in Mexico, and they still make less than 1% of the population. When you go to the USA, for example, you know, 33%, okay, 33% of the Latino population is Mexican. And or I think it's 33% of the population, period, you know, is Mexican. OK, so, you know, just FYI, you know what I mean? You know, how, you know, different, you know, things are, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're coming out here. So again, you know, for even no matter how many foreigners are out here, you got to remember that it's not just Americans and Canadians and a few Europeans. No, you know, there's a lot of, you know, people that are coming from Asia. Okay, there's a lot of Chinese people here, a lot of Korean people out here. There's a lot of other immigrants from Latin America here. You know, there's a lot of Haitians, a lot of Venezuelans, you know, there's Cubans, you know, I could go on and on and on. So, you know, Mexico is also a very diverse country, and it's also a very inclusive country when it comes to, you know, the culture. But again, at the end of the day, it's Mexico. So yeah, you can come out here and sell your hamburgers. You know, you can come out here and sell your pizza. You can come out here and sell your Chinese food. You can come out here and do all that stuff. But you know, again, you know, make sure, you know, you're not, you know, how do I say it? It's like trying to insult or change the culture, okay, in a way that is not Mexican anymore. You know, again, just like the same thing in the USA or Canada. You know, don't be going out there trying to force your way on anyone, because it's not going to go well. So yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. So, George Allen says, so much disinformation about Mexico. Could you comment on BRICS and how it will make Mexico more attractive? Look, man, I am not, by the way, I am no financial expert, no financial advice here, but I do know a few things about all that stuff. And, look, all I'm saying is this, man, you know, Mexico is not looking to be joining no BRICS per se. They're not looking to, you know, move away from the, okay, the US dollar is going to fail at some point, okay? Once that fails, most countries, you know, are going to be very happy to be sovereign again. What does that mean? Remember, every single currency on the planet is tied to the dollar. So as soon as the dollar falls, and that means that now their currency is now valued by their, you know, what they have to provide, you know, what value they actually have out of their country, you know, why would they tie themselves to something else again? So I'm not a big fan of that propaganda with the whole BRICS thing. I get it that it's a thing, but again, if you really, really look at the numbers and you really look at what's going on out there and you look at all this other stuff, it's not really a thing. It's not really a thing. Okay. You know, these countries, you know, you got to remember that the countries that are joining BRICS or part of that BRICS nation is like, you know, China, Russia, India, which most of them, you know, China and India don't even get along, for crying out loud, you know. So what, they're gonna, you know, have the same currency? No, they're not. So I mean, like I said, you know, when you really like look into it, it doesn't make much sense, okay? But what I do see happening is if one day the US dollar just fails and there's no more US dollar anymore, you know, gonna have a few scenarios, and one of the scenarios, the most likely scenario, is that we will go back to a gold standard, and then every country's currency is going to be attached to gold, okay? And then on top of that, it's going to be like, well, what does each country provide? You follow what I'm saying? So, you know, if it's a strong country like Mexico, remember, Mexico has lithium, has agriculture. Remember, Mexico does not need to import any food. You know, all the food that they grow is enough to feed their people, and they export. Okay? So Mexico has a very strong agricultural whatever, and a very strong manufacturing sector. They got, again, things like oil, lithium, gold and silver. I can go on and on. So why would they attach themselves to other countries when they, if the dollar falls, their currency, you know, could be so strong, believe it or not, that it could also be a world reserve currency. Now, again, I don't want to go way off the deep end here, but it's happened before. I don't want to get into all that now. Again, do a little research, you know, read a few history books there. But, you know, you got to think about all these, you know, factors. So why would Mexico attach themselves, you know, to other all these other countries? No, they want their own currency to be sovereign. They want the Mexican peso to just be its own thing on the open market. And, you know, if what you're seeing right now, as the dollar is losing value and the peso is getting stronger, I mean, and it continues to go in that trajectory, they don't have to do anything. Why do they got to join BRICS? Why do they got to join anything? You know, their currency is strong enough. Again, if you look at, you know, currencies around the world, the most stable currency in the world for like 4 years now, like 4 years running, has been the Mexican peso. What does that mean? Well, a lot of people that move money for real, that have money, okay, out there, you know, they're using the peso as an intermediary. Yeah, that's right. You know, they're using that peso. They're putting their money in the peso. So think about it. Think about you putting money in the peso a couple, just a year ago, and how much more value is increased. Let alone if you put it into gold and silver, or let alone if you put it into an actual investment in Mexico, like, I don't know, a copper mine, or I don't know, a house. So yeah, no, Mexico's not, don't believe the hype out there, okay? Don't be thinking that Mexico's going to be joining BRICS, you know, or whatever. And then the countries that are joining BRICS, again, that's another story for another day, all right? That's not what this channel's about. But no, I do not see Mexico joining anything, okay? Are you kidding me? Mexico is going to be a major powerhouse, okay? And it's already a powerhouse. But wait, as the dollar gets weaker, as you know, maybe we go into World War III, I don't know. Listen, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? It's just history repeats itself, okay? During World War II, you know, when the U.S. had to send all their men out there to go fight the Great War, right? World War II. Who was the one that was providing all the food, a lot of the arms, a lot of this? Yeah, I know the U.S. was, you know, contributing. You know, again, you know, we had women going into factories in the USA and working, right? You know, that strong woman, I forgot what her name was. Agriculture, you know, we had a lot of Mexicans coming into the U.S. and you know, doing agriculture. But let's not forget that Mexico was its own powerhouse. You know, there were a lot of things that were being built in Mexico. Okay, a lot of things that were grown in Mexico, you know, food and shipped out there to the war. So, again, you don't think it's going to repeat? Mexico doesn't have a dog in the fight. If we go to World War III, you know, Mexico doesn't even have an army. You know, they're not going to go out there and fight. They don't care. You know, but they will sell food and arms and cars and technology and whatever it is they got to build, whatever it is that people need for the war, they got it here in Mexico, and they're going to be able to supply, okay, be the major supplier, okay? So, no. So, and if they're attached to something, that just devalues, you know, what they're trying to do. So just keep that in mind, all right? All right, so... Oh, I'm glad that you guys are enjoying the video. Shout out to everyone out there. By the way, okay, for anyone out there that's enjoying, you know, these talks, enjoys, you know, the content that I provide, enjoys everything I do here, please go check out my other channel, Jose Unleashed, okay? I'll provide a quick link for you guys. But once we're done here, okay, once we're done here with this live stream, we're going to be going live over there. And over there, it's more comedy, you know? I talk about everything. Again, it's Unleashed, right? So it's more comedy based, but we talk about, you know, things like, you know, when I used to be a cook, you know, today's video is like, you know, that time I lived in Seattle, you know, and so on and so forth. All right. So we talk about everything. Okay. Like I said, the time I worked at a strip club, you know, we talked about the time I got kicked out of Disney, you know, everything, all kinds of things, so many topics. Right. So if you're enjoying this and you want, you know, to laugh a little bit, you want to get entertained, you want to keep, you know, enjoying yourselves there, please go check out that other channel. And I'm going to be going live there after we're done here. But not yet, okay? We're not done here yet. Also, for anyone out there that's interested in moving to Mexico, okay? Or you're considering moving to Mexico and you need more information, go check out my website, okay? It's joseadiaga.com. It's easy, you know, to find and, you know, whatever. But on the website, again, you look, free resources for living in Mexico. Free local Mérida resources, okay? All the way at the top, okay? There you go. So again, if you need something like an assistant, a veterinary, a vet for your dog, you need a lawyer, you need glasses, you need whatever it is, okay? A real estate agent, you got it all there, okay? and free Mexico resources. Again, doesn't matter what part of Mexico you're moving to, I provide, you know, again, there's a video there that's going to talk about, you know, how to find affordable rentals, you know, how to, you know, what you need to know before you rent a place or buy a place, you know, if you need a banking solution, you need to get your apostille, you need something to help translate, whatever, okay? Again, more, you know, things if you need, you know, digital nomad jobs, whatever. We got all kinds of things on the website. So the website is a plethora of free information, okay? So not just the website, but my channel as well. So please don't forget to, you know, check out the website, check out my the rest of my channel, okay? As you guys can see here, the channel. Again, all you got to do is do a quick research, a real search, and, you know, say type residency. Residency. How do I spell that? Sorry. And then you're going to get all the videos on residency, okay? And just like anything, cost of living, whatever, you know, cost of living. Whatever topic you can think of, all you got to do is do a quick search and you'll find it on my website, okay? Sorry, on my YouTube page, but also on my website, okay? And if you want a personalized one-on-one consultation, again, just click on personalized consultations and it, you know, it tells you everything you need to know and how to get in contact with me to talk to me one-on-one. But if you can't afford any of that, don't worry about it. That's why I do everything for free, okay? So I just wanted to give a shameless plug real quick on me and what I do here, you know, for anyone out there that's interested, okay? All right. Delfino says, the United States is very beautiful, but is getting very expensive to live here. I live in California and recently had to retire, and believe me, it's tough to live without stress. So again, you know, that's what we're talking about, you know, the whole thing with the currency and all these other things. You know, you got to consider and realize that, you know, Mexico's not going to get cheaper. It's just not. You know, Mexico is a booming economy. It has one of the youngest populations of any country out there. First of all, it has the youngest population of any developed country. Mexico is a first world country, okay? So, you know, we're not talking about like Africa or anything like that because they probably have younger populations, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a first world country, okay? And I know Africa's not a country. It's a continent, but the point I'm making is that Mexico is a first world country and it's a huge country and they have, you know, a very young population. They don't have to, they're not worried, you know, about a lot of these things that are, you know, other countries are worried about when it comes to, you know, an aging population. So on top of that, again, everything that we just talked about, how they're an economic powerhouse, they're a manufacturing powerhouse. Again, they don't just manufacture cars. They manufacture things like, you know, computer chips, you know, furniture, you know, whatever, anything and everything, okay? Plus, they have, you know, a lot of commodities, you know, again, like oil, gold, silver, lithium. I could go on and on. So, you know, they're only going to get stronger. Their currency is only going to get stronger. You know, the country is only going to get more expensive because it's just the nature of it. So if you're in the USA and you're on a fixed income and that dollar is losing value every day and it's losing even more value against the peso, you got to take that into consideration. And if some of you guys out there are expecting the dollar to fail, you know, the dollar to fall and disappear, you also got to take that into consideration too. Because think about it, you're coming out to Mexico, you move with your retirement and you're not planning accordingly, all right? You know, with diversified investments, not in stocks, okay? But like, again, buying gold and silver, buying a property, you know, actual physical hard assets. Well, guess what? You know what I mean? At some point, you know, you know, just like you don't have enough money in the USA, you're not going to have enough money here. All right. So you got to remember all that. You got to take all these things in consideration. But if you're younger, if you're like me or younger or older, but somewhere, you know, in the younger age range, you know, 50 years old and below, and you're still, and you still have the ability to work, you still have the ability to set up a business, you still have the ability to make money, and you can come out here, set up shop, and make money here, whether you're working for somebody, you know, working for a business, you know, whether it's a Fortune 500 company, whether it's just, you know, a regular job, or whether you start your own business and contribute to the economy in one shape, form, or another, you're going to be fine because you're going to be making these very valuable Mexican pesos that, again, these pesos are getting stronger each and every day. And, you know, the more you integrate into Mexican society and the economy, the better it's going to go for you, all right? But you got to keep all that in mind, okay? It's you know, Mexico, it can be for everyone, but it's up to you whether it's going to be for you or not, okay? And what is it you're looking for, and what is it you need, and what is it, you know, what are your, you know, you got to be honest, you know, what is it that you're looking for? You know what I'm saying? Like, is it, you know, you're looking for better quality of life to raise your family and be able to have a really good job? Well, yeah, you can probably come out to Mexico, all right? But if you're looking just to retire and you have a small, measly pension and things are just getting worse, you know, as, you know, these factors that we were just talking about here, you got to, again, take all that into consideration as well. You know, what else, what are you going to do? You know, and how are you going to deal with it? Are you going to be able to mitigate the cost? Are you going to be able to lower your standards? You know, lower your living standards, lower your spending habits, you know, and so on and so forth. And for some of you guys, it might just be easier to move to another part of the USA that's just more affordable. Because you got to remember, if you're moving to Mexico and you're going to integrate into Mexican society, again, if you're coming to Guadalajara, for example, you got to speak Spanish and you got to speak fluent Spanish. If you don't want to speak Spanish and you don't want to integrate that deeply into the culture, well, then, you know, maybe moving to a place like Mérida, you know, what is it, Mazatlán, whatever, you know, some of these other areas that are catering more to you, the retiree that's just looking to retire for cheap. But again, you know, those days could be numbered. It all depends on many factors, you know, what, you know, the U.S. currency is going to do on the world stage, what the Mexican currency and economy are doing on the world stage. So as the U.S. gets weaker, well, so will your dollar and your spending ability, okay? And as Mexico gets stronger, again, that's also going to determine on your end. So you got to keep all these things in mind, okay? You got to be realistic. I'm not trying to discourage anybody. I'm trying to encourage people to, you know, to find, to go where you're treated best, okay? Like a good friend of mine, which I don't know, I never met him before, but I'm sure that we would, you know, get along great, and you know, I would love to have a beer with him one day. Would be what's his face, Andrew Henderson, I think his name is. Well, anyways, Andrew from the Nomad Capitalist, and he says it all the time, and I love that saying of you know, you got to go where you're treated best, okay? And you know, for me, it's living in Mexico. You know, are you kidding me? You know, living in Mexico, I've never been happier. I've lived my whole life in the USA, and most of the time, it was a struggle. It was very difficult. It was not fun. But being in Mexico, oh my God, you know what I mean? Like, the quality of life is so much better. The people are so much better and friendlier. The food is so much better. And I could go on and on. Everything's just better. You know, are you kidding me? So, Joker's Wild, can you do a special episode on property rates? Both overpriced, also good market. That's not what I do, man. I don't even know anything about that. I'm not into real estate. I don't know jack squat about anything about that stuff, okay? So that's not, you know, to me, it's like if you are, say like Nexo says, so disgusting to see gringos profiting from my country. It's not your right to come here. Again, you're always going to find people like that. Just like in the USA, it's like, we don't want those guys coming and taking our jobs. But like I said, they're very few and far in between. I'm not even going to censor or you know, take, you know, that comment away or that person away, because it's everyone's right, again, in a free country, right, to say what they have on their mind. But just understand that is, you know, the minority of people out here. And that, yes, you're going to see people that are racist like him, you know, just like you see people that are racist all over the world, you know. So it is what it is. But again, someone that says something like that, they don't have any idea. Again, all these buildings. So next, so you're going to tell me that everything that is being built here, all of this stuff, is all American? No, it's not. It's all Mexican. You know, Mexicans are the ones building all these buildings, you know, creating all this infrastructure. You know, what, Guadalajara was built by a few expats? No, it wasn't. You know, Guadalajara was built by millions of Mexicans, okay? And that's who lives there. And these buildings are Mexican, and everything is Mexican. So again, you know, you can come out here and say your racist things, just like, you know, people in the USA, you know, want to blame certain groups or certain people. But again, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And you're going to be seeing it more and more in my future videos, you know, as I show you guys what Guadalajara looks like from a, you know, a real, you know, point of view. You know, what is a walking point of view? You know how I show it in my videos. And you get to really see. And it's like, you know, it's ridiculous. at this point when you hear, you know, these things about, you know, a handful of gringos, right, are coming out here to ruin Mexico. No, they're not. They're not. You know what I mean? Yeah, there are a few bad apples out there. You know, just like there's a few bad apples that come from Mexico, Salvador, Cuba, whatever, and they go to the USA, and, you know, they're not, you know, bueno. They're not good hombres, right? They're bad hombres, as, you know, someone liked to say. But it's like, you know, no, none of this, you know, all this is Mexican. All this is being built by Mexican. Nexo says, you'll see in a couple years how the increasing anger to foreigners becomes a real issue. I mean, it won't. I mean, of course it will, and it won't. You know what I mean? Again, it's all because of fake propaganda like you. Again, look how well you speak English. You know, are you even Mexican? You know? Because, again, I don't know who's behind that. You know what I mean? So it's like you got to, you know, people, you know, in the audience, you also got to take that with a grain of salt. You know, that might be just another gringo, you know, trolling and talking crap. And if it's a Mexican, I mean, look how well he speaks English. You know, so, again, it's like someone with, you know, or their Starbucks cup and, you know, on a MacBook, you know, on an Apple MacBook complaining about capitalism. You know, and wanting to push communism. You know, it's like, come on, man. Come on. Get out of here. You know, get out of here with this. You know what I mean? Like, you're just, you know, you're all you're doing is, making a fool out of yourself. And it's as simple as that. And again, we've already talked about it in today's video, today's live stream, as to what's really going on with all that. Okay? That, you know, in the few places where, you know, Mexican business owners are catering. Okay, because again, you're blaming a few foreigners, but really it's the Mexican business owners that are behind this. But you're blaming a few Mexican business owners, you know, for catering to a few American foreigners or foreigners, you know, from wherever they're coming from, you're not really, you know, hitting at, you know, what's really going on here. So and I'm still laughing at you. We're all laughing at you. Okay, so. But yeah, like I said, you know what I mean? Like, if you ask the typical Mexican, all they're asking for is that, you know, that there's respect of their culture, respect of their country, and that, you know, you come out here and you assimilate and that you treat, you know, everyone with love and respect like they do to you. And that's it. And so when Americans or anyone comes out here, you know, Canadians, doesn't matter where you're from, and you come out here and you don't respect, you don't, you know, show love, you come out here entitled and you come out here acting a certain way, then it's not going to go well for you. It's just like anywhere else. You know, again, try going to Japan or try going to, you know, any country in Saudi Arabia, sorry, in the Middle East or any country in Asia and start acting like an entitled immigrant from whatever country you're from, and, you know, go see how well that's going to be. You know, are you kidding me? So, you know, again, you know what I mean? Again, don't let one or a few individuals out there speak for everybody, okay? The squeaky wheel is usually the loudest, but it's not all the wheels, okay? So, in fact, one thing that I was really surprised by in Guadalajara was when I was there and I was talking to people and I was telling people where I was from. Because they're like, oh, wow, yeah, like, it's really cool that you speak Spanish, you know, but what accent is that? Where are you from? From Chile. And it's like, no, I'm not from Chile. I'm from Cuba. Oh, wow, you're Cuban. It's like, oh, really? Da-da-da-da-da. But you also speak English. Like, yeah. It's like, oh, where are you from? Oh, I'm American. Oh, wow, so you're a Cuban-American from Miami. That's awesome. That's cool. That's great. That's wonderful. So, no, yeah, exactly, Nexo. I agree with you there. Again, you know, for Americans that come out here entitled, and they feel like they are, you know, untouchable and they can just do whatever they want. Well, yeah, they find out the hard way, you know, just like if they go to any other country out there and, you know, have to deal with the same thing, you know. So, no, I totally agree with you. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, you know what I mean? So, you know, most Americans, you know, most foreigners, you know, most immigrants coming into Mexico, they embrace the culture and they love the culture. And again, if you are really Mexican and you know your Mexican history and culture, you know that it's a very diverse country. You know, there's a lot of people from, you know, the Middle East. I mean, tacos al pastor, you know, that's a Middle Eastern thing. You know, and I could go on and on. You know, you guys eat pizzas and hamburgers and listen to rock and roll. I literally bought this in downtown, you know, Mexico, Guadalajara, whatever. So, I mean, come on. You know what I mean? So, it is what it is. I don't want to keep giving any more, what is it like? A stage time, you know, to Mr. Nexo out there, you know. But just to go to show, you know what I mean? Like, that's the reality. Because look, I watch videos on gentrification, for example, like what's going on in Oaxaca, and you know, there's a lot of Oaxacans, which again, they're 100% correct. You know, it's like, hey, you know, we're being priced out. Hey, my property taxes used to be a couple thousand pesos, and now it's like 30,000 pesos, and I could go on and on. But again, you know what is really causing that gentrification? Who is catering, you know, to these foreigners, and who's overcharging these foreigners? Well, it's other Mexicans, okay? And when you talk, you know, again, when you see like the town hall meeting in Oaxaca, you know, you're going to see a bunch of people that are not happy with the gentrification and the growth and everything getting expensive. And you're going to see a lot of other Mexicans, you know, a lot of Oaxacans that are very happy with it. They're making money. You know, they're doing business. They love the change. You know, they love that, you know, now Oaxaca is, a place that people want to come to. And I can go on and on. And then you're going to see a bunch of other Oaxacans, you know, that are like, hey, can we stop talking about what's going on in Oaxaca Central? No one gives a crap about the center of Oaxaca. What about all these pueblos and all these villages and all this and all that? So, I mean, there's many angles and many views to this. And it's not just Oaxaca, you know. It's Mexico City and all these other places. We talked about Mexico City, you know. The people that are the neighborhoods that are, you know, being overrun by foreigners are rich neighborhoods. So who are they really pushing out more than anything else? Other, you know, Mexicans with money. You know, again, just like the people in Beverly Hills, you know, being pushed out by people from China or Saudi Arabia. You know, it's a complicated issue. So, God bless you too, Nexo. Thank you for sharing with us and sharing your opinion. And again, this is very important to have and have these discussions. That's another thing I love about Mexico. By the way, shout out to you, Nexo. I appreciate you. That's another thing I love about Mexico. They have open communication. They have open discussions. They have, you know, that freedom of speech. You know, all these things that we just don't have in the USA anymore. And for me, that's, you know, a main reason for moving or living in Mexico and not wanting to go to the US anymore, because it's this freedom that people really do have here. You know, freedom of expression, you know, just real freedom. So thank you, Nexo, for, you know, sharing with us your thoughts. But anyway, so I think we're going to start wrapping this up. It's already been an hour and a half of the show. So like I said, guys, if you want to, you know, continue, you know, having me talk about whatever, you guys want to keep hearing me and you want to hear more of my thoughts and more of my everything, please join me on my other channel. I'm Jose Unleashed. We're going to go live in about 20-30 minutes over there, so I hope to see you guys there. And if I don't, I'll see you here next week. Okay, you already know every single Thursday we go live on this channel, not just on my other channel. Again, every single Sunday I drop a video as well. Okay, these are some of the videos I've dropped. Okay, you guys can see there. So remember, I'm not easy on other expats or other foreigners or other immigrants, okay? I'm not, okay? I keep it real, okay? I'm not here, you know, to cater to just one side or the other. I'm just here to, you know, keep it real. I'm here to report and tell you guys exactly how it is and how I see things and how others see things out here, okay? And, you know, that's just the reality of it. You know, again, it's not for everybody. My channel's not for everybody. But, you know, for those of you guys out there that do enjoy my content, well, you know, welcome. And I'm glad that you guys are here and that you guys enjoy all this stuff. But one thing I was going to say is, like, I'm trying very hard to see if I can drop more than one video a week. But again, every single Thursday I go live and every single Sunday I drop a video. And, you know, again, going forward, I'm going to try very, very hard to drop another video throughout the week. Okay, so hopefully start expecting, you know, 3 videos a week, you know, meaning 1 live stream and then 2 videos. Oh, by the way, don't forget to hit the likes. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. And I think we're going to start wrapping this up, guys. So, you know, I really appreciate you guys. So, you know, we've been here for an hour and a half, and you already know, I love hanging out with you guys. I love talking to you guys. I love having these discussions. And, you know, again, just going back to Guadalajara real quick. You know, if I were to Yelp review Guadalajara, I'd give it 5 stars, 10 stars if I could. I loved it out there. Christian loved it out there. We thoroughly enjoyed our stay there. We are looking forward to going back. And again, it's not for everybody. You know, one of the main reasons I liked it so much is the fact that it's a real Mexican city. Again, it's very different to Mérida, right? I'll tell you that. And, you know, for me, Mérida is just like a small, sleepy town, a small, sleepy beach town, which is great and wonderful. You know, as a Floridian, you know, it's something I'm used to and I like. I like the weather. I like the beach. I like all that stuff. But I'm a big city boy. And that's, you know, there's no big city vibes out here. But when I was in Guadalajara, total big city vibes, energy, you know, the energy from a big city and all this other stuff. So again, it's not for everybody. The younger you are, the more you probably will appreciate a place like Guadalajara. And the older you are, the more you'll probably, you know, like to be in a place like, I don't know, you know, Chapala, right? Lake Chapala or Ajijic or Mazatlán or Mérida or Puerto Vallarta or whatever, okay? So just keep that in mind, and that's it, you know what I mean? Like, I think we're going to wrap this up, guys. So, all right, guys, if you really enjoyed this content, you already know what to do. You know, don't forget to please like, please subscribe, please share, please hit the bell icon. But more importantly than anything else, please stay awesome. Again, thank you so much for watching. I hope to see you guys on Jose Unleashed in about 30 minutes, you know, give or take. And, you know, we're going to be talking about my life in Seattle, you know, and all that, you know, how I moved there and all that stuff. And you already know, if you want to see more content, just check out my channel. You know, I got tons of videos, okay? Tons of content. You know, go check it out. Go check out my website if you're, you know, thinking about moving to Mexico or Mérida, whatever. And you want more information, more free information, okay? And, you already know what to do. And if, you know, you want to support the show, you know, again, I want to give a big shout out to all my members out there, all my patron, you know, patrons from Patreon members, you know, everyone that supports the show, you know, whether you send a few bucks, buy me a coffee, whatever it is you do, you know, I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. And thank you so much for everything. And, you know, it's a pleasure to be able to do this for a living, you know, which is, you know, make these videos and talk about how amazing life in Mexico truly is. Okay. So, again, you already know the deal. If you like this kind of content, you already know what to do, all right? So, love you guys. Peace out, and I'll see you guys on the next one. Bye, guys.